Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
In our last lesson, we saw how God miraculously provided the way and the means for Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem. After almost a century and a half after the Babylonian invasion and destruction, the walls and gates of Jerusalem were finally being rebuilt under Nehemiah's direction. As I mentioned previously, this work would neither go unnoticed nor without opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah returned to taunt and insult the Israelites. This is what they say. What are these weak Jews doing? Do they think they will ever be strong enough to be able to protect themselves? Oh, so they think that if they sacrifice, then their God will help them finish in a day? Do they think they are able to get the foundation stones out of the heaps of rubble? Look at this wall. If a fox climbs up on it, it will surely collapse. And so it went. They wanted to make the Jewish people feel that their work was worthless and that they would never be able to finish it. It is the same today when so much comes against the gospel in Christianity. Christians are mocked, ridiculed, and persecuted all over the world. How are we to respond? How did Nehemiah respond? Nehemiah went to the ultimate source of strength. He went to the Lord in prayer. He asked God to hear what they were saying. Of course, God already knew, just like He knows what is happening today and what our needs are. But this is a good reminder that God wants us to tell Him what our concerns and problems are. He wants us to ask Him for help. God says in His word that He will be inquired of. That is to say, prayer is the means to petition the Lord. So Nehemiah asks God to turn the reproach of the enemies on their own head and not to forgive their sin, because they were actually not sinning against the Jews, but against God Himself. When we see opposition to the work of the gospel, it is not so much against us, but against God. And such action is despised by God and will be punished. After praying for strength, Nehemiah and the people continued their work, and they succeeded in connecting the wall where there were gaps and finishing half of the height of it. This produces even more opposition. The previously mentioned group of men conspire together with more Arabians, Ammonites, and Ashdodites to actually fight against the Jews. Again, Nehemiah's response is prayer. But he also sets up watchmen to guard. And here is another lesson for us. We are to pray and use the means. If God has provided us with outward means that may benefit us in a particular situation, we are to prayerfully use them as well. Nehemiah ensures that there are armed guards, yes, armed guards with swords and spears. And where there are great distances between workers on the wall, he has men with trumpets. If they are attacked, the trumpet will be blown, and the armed guards will come to their rescue. And so the work is able to continue. So now all the problems are solved. Or are they? In chapter 5, we come across a new problem, and it is coming from the Jews themselves. Now, there are internal problems getting in the way of the work. It appears that a combination of the presence of the enemy, the amount of time many of the men were spending on the wall, and perhaps less than ideal growing conditions, this resulted in a trade deficit that directly impacted the poorer people of the land. They were forced to borrow money from the wealthy in order to feed their families. And the wealthy were taking advantage of them by charging them high rates of interest and even seizing their assets when they couldn't pay. This was forbidden by their scripture. And when Nehemiah hears of this, he justly becomes very angry. He directly confronted those engaged in this sin. He told the assembly that what they were doing was wrong, and they needed to restore what they had taken from their fellow Jews. The wonder is that they all agree and make an oath that they will make restitution and repent. Well, that problem was solved, but now the original enemies return with a different plot to both hinder the work and harm Nehemiah. The wall is complete, with the exception of the gates. Sanballat and Geshem tried to get Nehemiah to meet somewhere with the intention to harm or perhaps even kill him, but Nehemiah does not fall for it. Then they tried to start a rumor that Nehemiah actually is doing all this work so that he can be king and that they will rebel against the Persian government. They threatened to report this to the king of Persia unless Nehemiah meets with them. Again, this was an attempt to harm or kill him. Nehemiah merely states that the accusations are false and without any merit. Nehemiah continues to pray, and with the Lord's help, the wall is completely finished after 52 days of hard work and diligence. This was an incredible accomplishment, and even the heathens were forced to recognize that this was the work of God. The walls are complete, the gates are in place, guards are in place, but the city is relatively empty. So in order to determine property rights, a genealogy is made, which is laid out in chapter 7. Now that the physical restoration is complete, the focus shifts to the spiritual restoration of the people. The first step toward this is to restore God's service by teaching the people His word. Ezra brings the book of the law and reads it before the people. All who could hear and understand were present. The people were attentive. They listened carefully. When we have opportunities to hear God's word read or preached to us, do we have the same desire to respectfully pay attention? There were also others who helped Nehemiah while explaining the law. This is how preaching and teaching should be done today as well. We appeal to the authority of Scripture and then preach or teach according to the meaning of the word. When the people heard the law read, and remember, this is referring to the books of Moses, not just the Ten Commandments, the people wept. Were they sad? Maybe some of them were convicted of their sin and therefore wept. But I believe others wept for joy, rejoicing that they could hear the word read and preached unto them again in a public service after so many years. This was a time of joy. As they read, they were reminded that they were to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, which was celebrated to commemorate God's care over the children of Israel as they traveled in the desert from Egypt to Canaan. And so they kept this feast for 7 days as commanded by the law. By reading and diligently studying the Word of God, the people were inclined to obey and thus restore the true worship of God. Following this, the people assembled again and publicly confessed their and their ancestors' sins. They read the law again and repented in sackcloth and dirt to show their genuine penitence. Read chapter 9 on your own and pay close attention to the prayer of the people. They recognize God as the supreme creator and ruler over all things. Then they trace God's dealings with the Israelites, beginning with the covenant made with Abraham, all the way through the captivity and to their present return. They confess the sins of their forefathers, and they also praise God for his faithfulness throughout the centuries. At the end of the prayer, they make a covenant and seal it with their names. They commit themselves once again to follow the law of God, including tithing and Sabbath worship, and all the ordinances concerning the temple. Chapter 11 is an interesting shift in that it explains how they repopulated Jerusalem. Once the walls had been rebuilt, along with the buildings inside the walls, it became evident that a sufficient number of people were needed to occupy the city. The leaders were already dwelling there, but probably more were needed to defend the city, carry on business, and other needs as well. It was decided that 10% of the population should live in the city, and the other 90% living in villages outside the city. So they cast lots to see which families would live where. This chapter contains a list of all the names who lived in Jerusalem. Chapter 12 gives us a genealogy of the priests and Levites, as well as a description of the dedication of the wall. This dedication likely transpired at the completion of the wall, so chronologically earlier than the other events covered in chapters 10 through 12. Nehemiah provides great detail concerning the Levites involved and also the rituals performed. We finally arrive at the conclusion of the book of Nehemiah, which primarily addresses the spiritual renewal of the people. Once again, they read from the Word of God, and they find the express command that the Ammonites and the Moabites should not be a part of the congregation. These were distant relatives of the Israelites, but they had mistreated the Israelites when they were traveling from Egypt to Canaan. Because of their actions, God had cursed them, and now they had to obey God's law and separate them from the people. And there was another problem. Do you remember Tobiah, who had harassed Nehemiah earlier in this history? Somehow, he had managed to become friends with the high priest, Eliashib, who in turn allowed him to store personal goods in one of the temple storerooms. When Nehemiah learned of this, he threw out Tobiah's goods and had the storeroom purified so that it could be used properly once again for temple vessels. The next issue Nehemiah addresses is the proper compensation for the temple workers. Some of them were forced to work outside the temple in order to support themselves, and this was not how it was supposed to be. Nehemiah ensured that they would receive proper support so that they could fulfill their tasks without any hardship. Another concern was the keeping of the Sabbath. Many people were working on the Sabbath with no regard to setting apart the seventh day of the week to refrain from work so that they could worship God. There was also a lot of trade in selling happening on the Sabbath in Jerusalem as well. Nehemiah had to remind the people that this was forbidden by God's law, and he took measures to put an end to this type of activity. Nehemiah was a great blessing for Israel. If we think about all he accomplished, it is absolutely amazing. But let us also remember, it was God's hand behind all of this. God directed the events so that Nehemiah was aware of the walls not being rebuilt. God also inclined the heart of Artaxerxes to not only allow Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem, but also to give him whatever he wanted. God gave Nehemiah the talent and strength to accomplish what he did. When we consider this history, let us meditate upon the faithfulness of God throughout the ages and pray that he may also give such a revival in our day as well.